preview.
Say some wicker was.
I know. I love it. I love when we're self help. I love when Tommy's doing double duty, double the pay, producer and host.
Not even what the federal minimum wage is right now.
Tommy sits as Bob Powers calls you.
Yeah, yeah. He's not very good at remembering names. Faces, yes. Names, not so much. But before we start off, thoughts and prayers to everybody to the north of us with the tragedy there in Surfside.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what those first responders are going through, what they're having to see and what.
I don't know if you've seen it. I mean, it's just like they have the big earth movers, and it's just just a bunch of dudes standing there waiting. Like, is
somebody like,
see an arm? Are we gonna see? I mean, it's
it's ridiculous. And what you were just saying right before, like, we're not a third world country that suffers this kind of stuff.
I was like, we're not Lebanon with buildings getting blown up.
And, right.
And we're just not used to it. And I think that part of the problem here is this reminds you of the FIU bridge collapse, obviously.
A
lot more, a lot more deaths. But when bridges fall down, when buildings are falling down, it kind of makes you question everything. And I think it's just more fundamentally, it's very upsetting. It's very scary. I was thinking the other day, like, what if you live in another, the 20-story building next door?
Yeah.
And there's no answers for why this happened. I mean, I'm worried about Europe. So I got to tell you something. I feel bad for everybody, but particularly the people. I mean, there was an amazing, I think it was Channel 7, had every missing person, like 100 entries on a tweet.
Oh, wow. Just
a picture, name. And it's just, I mean, I'm talking whole families. Here's the dad and his daughter. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy that was visiting his brother that lives there. I mean,
There's
like two lawyers, doctor missing.
Yeah. It's a horrible tragedy. Well, the thing that the Marlins are doing is feeding first responders. And also the Dolphins and the Heat came together and collaborate on that. So kudos to the Marlins leading the way, to kind of help soothe what everybody's going through up there, especially those people that are working tirelessly to find survivors. So tough beat last night again.
I watched the whole game.
Freaking brutal.
I watched it from start to finish, and I told you beforehand, it seems like every time I'll be on a phone call and I'll be like, oh, the game's on, and I'll turn it on at 7:20, 7:25.
1-0.
Down 1-0. 2-0.
Let me tell you exactly how that happened, though. And I tweeted out, how in the F could Cody Poteet hang a freaking meatball over in the zone with Kyle Schwarber? Listen, Kyle Schwarber was on the World Series team with the Cubs in 2016. The guy's a horse. That's the reason the Nationals got him. Now he's hitting bombs like, he's in a lineup that's conducive for him to hit home runs. And don't hang one on that guy. Batter home run.
I'm not a Schwarber fan, but it's interesting. Like, I remember I read, I'd recommend it to anybody, the Andre Agassi, his autobiography.
Right.
And it has a lot of cool stuff. The guy's lived an interesting life, married to Brooke Shields.
Now Steffi Graf, right?
And there's two things that are cool. Exactly. He has a great relationship with Steffi Graf. There's two really cool things about his story. Was one, he had a really traumatic childhood. He would play adults. His dad was a pit boss or a security guy at a casino in Las Vegas. And they'd just go and shark people. Here's this little kid.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah,
instead of the pool shark, he was the tennis shark.
It'd be like some NFL player, playing at the club, and it'd be like, hey, you want to play my son? They play a little bit. I bet my son could beat you.
So he actually sandbagged the first couple matches?
He'd sandbag.
His old man told him to do that?
And then his dad would kind of start talking crap with the guy and kind of get almost a hostile relationship and bet. And the guy, the NFL, be like, I bet my son could beat you. I'll bet you $25,000.
Oh, dang.
And
that level?
Yeah. And then it was interesting because he tells the stories of his dad, would have to go home to the safe and bring the money. The guy would be like, I'm not taking it your word that you even have the money. And he'd show up with the money. And Agassi said that when he won Wimbledon the first time, like he was in the press conference and someone was asking like, how was the pressure or whatever? And he's like, you know, I didn't tell him, but it's like, this ain't nothing compared to playing for your family's life savings.
Right.
But he also said one of the things to bring it back to Schwarber was this idea of don't beat yourself. And he really had this philosophy of like, I'm just going to return the ball. I'm not going to rush the net. I'm not going to try to kill you off. I bet you'll make a mistake before I do.
Right.
And then the flip side of that was, and I'll get to Schwarber about how he does that. But the flip side to Agassi was he went to UNLV to a strength coach, which in the book, I think involved a lot of Tony Bosch type drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a performance enhancing, but he was like, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to play like this, like I also have to outstand another guy. Right. I got to be in better shape than everybody.
Right.
Because I'm playing Sampras. He's a foot taller than me, mm-hmm. a better athlete than me, frankly.
And younger.
And like, you know, so that's what he did. But Schwarber hits me that thing of like, I find it so frustrating to play with him. And it's like, what does he do? Takes advantage of your mistakes.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, he's going to take what you give him. And if you make a mistake,
it's over.
That's it. He's taking advantage of it. And it's like the third time this season I've seen him do, you know.
He did it to us before in the previous series in Washington. So.
Yeah. In a game, in a walk-off, I think.
Yep. Yeah. It sucks. I like the guy. I mean just because of my relationship with the Cubs and seeing him play.
Yeah.
And really excited when we got the guy. But tonight is another Cubs connection, Johnny Lester pitching against Pablo Lopez. Hopefully these guys can give him some run support. That's what we desperately need. But I think right now, like, there have been a lot of Starling Marte talk, trade talk, and I think he's got to be on the table. We got to get pitching, and we got to get some other reliable bats.
I don't know.
And do you trade Starling Marte to the White Sox, get a number two or three pitcher from them and some prospects? Or just a boatload of prospects that are ready to start producing.
But it's interesting you say that because I actually screenshotted it. I won't bore you looking at it. But they said that, you know, is there a better 1-2-3 minor league rotation than what we have right now?
No.
Like, could
there be?
Like, we have a lot of prospects. So it's, you know, it's like if you're the manager, how do you manage that? Like, we're going to have –
Max, yeah, Mac, the Maxes, the guys, who's the kid that's in Jacksonville right now?
Yeah, that's what I'll bring up. But think about it. That's what he's saying. We have the best 1-2-3 in the minor leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a statement.
But here's what's even crazier than that. We have the fourth best ERA of a starting rotation.
I know.
In the majors, yep. Not in the National League. A plus 17 run differential, and we're still 12 games yep. under 500. Makes no sense at all. Yep. Whatsoever. It seems like we get hits when we don't need them.
Yeah.
And when we really need them, we can't produce any runs.
Well, I think that last night was who got the hit to lead off the bottom of the ninth?
Oh. Was it Sanchez?
I think it was Sanchez.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, because
he had two hits.
You know what they said about him? I think it was that at bat. They said that's the first time they'd seen him get around on a ball.
Oh.
They're still talking about him not being MLB ready.
Really?
And they said, because remember,
you listened to the Washington broadcast.
No. I was listening to ours. They said, the guy said, I think it's the first time he's gotten around on a ball.
You mean that 439 footer wasn't getting around on
him? Getting around
on it. Oh, yeah, because that swing was so short and compact. There wasn't a whole lot of getting around. All he was doing was getting around the bases.
And so it you know, it's like, that was a class. I swear to you, I got excited. And I'm like, I know I shouldn't be excited. And then the next two balls were hit hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well
two,
struck.
Two well struck balls. I mean, they're pop-ups, but well struck balls. But there you go, you know, inning over.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's it, game over.
Yeah, a little rally in the eighth for three runs, and then that's it. So,
and that's the end of it.
Yeah. We didn't – the last one we played against Lester in Washington, we lost that game, but we were in that game the whole time. So – I mean, I think if they just – Pablo's going to pitch Pablo. Pablo's going to do Pablo. Now these guys need to back him up.
When do we get Sixto back?
He's throwing at 120 feet right now. Another thing is Cooper's doing his rehab assignment with the jumbo shrimp. So
I don't know. It was tough watching last night because, you know, it's interesting. I always – we talk about like the Dan Le Batard. What do we know to be true? And that Nats team is pretty tough.
Well, they won 9 out of the last 10, and then they and they're on the tear. They're scoring runs. They're scoring a ton of runs.
I just in watching that game, I was like, "This is a good baseball
team." Yeah, they scored 13 against the Phillies the night before.
I think they're a better football. I mean, better. I think they're better than the Cubs. Like watching, I was like, "This is a good baseball team."
Yeah. They still got that cheater Scherzer on there though. So anyway, 7:10 start tonight. It is salute and serve.
Are you going?
So for no, not going. I was going to try to get Richard, and he's so disgusted with the Marlins' performance as of late that he's kind of given up.
I'm supposed to go sailing tonight, but if this weather, I mean, God, it's terrible out there. If that doesn't happen, I may be calling you and see if I can pick you up and go.
Yeah. That's always
I'm dying to go to a game.
Yeah. And tonight should be a good one for us. I mean, if these guys – shoot, man, like it's heartbreaking almost because we invested in this show in this team. No, but I'm serious. Know, like the time
we have a beef with the Marlins.
I do. I have a serious because look, there's a hundred more games of this poor shit I got
to
deal with.
You know, it's funny you say that, to bring it back to hockey. You always hate when I do that. You know, the Canadians. It's Canadians and Tampa Bay and the Stanley Cup.
What's the series tie? What is it, tied or
no? It's just starting. The Canadians just beat off the Las Vegas.
Oh, okay. So now we're in the finals.
Yeah, we're in the finals, Stanley Cup finals. Zero. And it was interesting because I was thinking to myself, like I was watching, like they had a great. I think it was on SportsCenter, and they just said, like, you know, here's the French Canadian broadcast of the game of the overtime goal, right? And they did a great job. You just hear the guy like talking in French, you know, the rink erupts, right?
Yeah.
And then they flash outside to all the people that can't get inside the rink, right? And they fill up the a little causeway or whatever. It's just, you know, another 20,000 people, and they just erupt. And I was thinking about emotional investment in teams, right? Is there any team in North America right now that probably has more emotional investment than the Canadians? And they entered the playoffs as the worst record.
Okay.
And have, you know, worked their way through it into the finals. And it just made me think of like the, you know, these Marlies. this is the dog days. We always talked about it. It's like, here we are. We're not I was actually enthusiastic about going to the game tonight. If I couldn't go, I'm probably going to go. But it's not much happening. It's not, right. You know, it's a little listless. It's a little punchless at this point.
I mean, we had some momentum earlier in the season, and there were some bright spots, and the injuries came, and then they kept coming over and over and over again, and we just couldn't put the same team that we anticipated being.
I got to tell you something though, but
on the field.
But Tommy, I was thinking too, is like with the beginning when we were all excited about spring training, we were winning all our games. You know, we're like the spring training champs, but you know, I still don't think we're as bad as they thought we were. I don't think we're going to finish at the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more time left. And listen, we get Sixto and we get some of these other guys, Dickerson and Anderson and Cooper back and bring healthy.
And again, I don't know. I don't follow any other teams. I don't follow any other teams minor league, but I follow on Twitter, Beloit, Pensacola.
Yeah.
Jacksonville. Like guys are doing good things.
People are playing
good ball.
You'd be surprised. Like if you look at that Jacksonville roster, it's rehabbing guys and a bunch of guys that just got sent back down there that have been playing in the show. Like imagine facing Jacksonville and most of these guys have never seen the major league baseball.
Remember that girl that was in here the other day we met? I can't remember her brother. I can't remember the name. He's got a weird last name. Was a pitcher. And the pitcher, he was here, and it was funny. He's talking about like it was a great major league story, and I need to get him. We need to get her in here because the story was he was 6 years somewhere. Career's over.
Right.
He's not ready for it to be over. He goes to Australia, plays in the league, pitcher of the year. Comes back for tryouts, and they take him a little more seriously because he was pitcher of the year, right? He put together a good campaign. And he's a starting pitcher. They bring him up to the Marlins, and what situation do they put him in?
Bases loaded.
Like sixth inning base.
No outs.
And he goes out there and gets shellacked.
Yeah.
And pow, it's like, pow, pow. All right, back to Jacksonville.
Right.
But it was just funny. It's like
all that for going across I don't know how many time zones to play in Australia of all places. And then you come back in just one time.
Situation.
Oh, thanks, bro.
And I just laughed. I was like, I haven't verified any of her story, but it sounds like such a great major league story. Like this is your one chance, kid. You know?
Yeah. This bummer.
The only thing I can say, I know you're not prepared for this mentally, physically, or spiritually. Right. But let's see what you got.
Yeah. I mean, you almost want to go out there like crying because it's not going to end well. All right. So here's something I need to bring up because there's some shenanigans going on in the studio. So you remember we did the Jobu show, and then immediately after that, they went on a
bats
they
came
two,
alive.
Yeah, 21 runs in two games. So I came into the studio, and we know. Look, I know I wasn't the best at science; I was more a English and history guy. But I know that the rate of evaporation of rum is not nearly
very low.
It's super low. So when I came in here and I saw Jobu's a little shot glass diminished by at least 50%, maybe 60. Then I was like, well, what the heck? You know, who in here is drinking Jobu's rum and bringing the wrath of Jobu upon them? And then also busting the goodness that we did. And now since that discovery, we have lost every game, scored 3 runs in 4 games.
Four games, yeah.
So I'm going to pour a little more in this cup and just ask him to come back.
Good.
Because, look, and issue another warning because we're going to use the real shot glass this time. I'll be able to take DNA off that if I discover that.
And I like that. I got to tell you something. I love that, Pilar. I love watching you try to, like, that is such an uncomfortable pour.
And it's like this.
Look at it.
It's like a $60 bottle of rum.
It's like so poorly designed.
There it is. So hold on. Now I got
to
figure out how to put the cap back on. What a crazy. Anyway. All right, Jobu. Sorry that some infiltrator came in here and stole your rum, but we're going to give you a new glass, buddy. Take fear from bats, my friend. Tonight, Pablo.
Tomorrow is an afternoon game. We'll be wearing the Sugar Kings City Connect red tomorrow. It is also Sandy Alcantara's bobblehead night, the Sandman.
Yep.
He's wearing beach shorts and a floppy hat.
It's funny you say because I have two reactions.
I want to get that one. But.
I showed my daughter the bobbleheads. Now she's into collecting the bobbleheads.
She's into it.
Oh yeah, she was like, I want that bobblehead because it was it was a cool looking bobblehead.
Oh yeah, so
because she likes the Oso. We have the Oso one there.
Yeah,
she got
a bunch of them.
Well, that's what caught her eye. Well, I gave them all away. But we only have one left. But she, you know, the way his legs. Yeah, his feet. Like she just found it fascinating. So when she saw I showed her the picture, she's like, Poppy, get me one of those bobbleheads.
Yeah. So you're going.
Yeah, well, we gotta make it happen. And then the last thing I was gonna tell you was I'm gonna get her that bobblehead. And on the Sugar Kings, I ordered the Sugar Kings book.
Okay.
So I'm gonna bug you to bring in the author.
Okay, but remember, he said maybe later in the summer. So.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. But I'm going to reach out to him because I have the book now. Uh-huh. I'm going to read the book.
Obviously, okay, I'll give it to you. Yeah, I want to read the book. It next. Absolutely.
And then, exactly, by the time we get done reading the book, we can do that and kind of keep the Sugar Kings thing going.
Yeah. And another thing is Jorge's son, Jorge Jr., wants to come in and talk about the foundation, talk about what they're doing to market the Sugar Kings and keep that thing going, which is super important. Last thing I want to talk about are these babies here.
These terrible Grant Miller stools.
Yeah, I mean, these are probably collector's items in some place. But I can't imagine sitting on this comfortably. They,
just so the viewer could see, it has actual baseballs.
Yeah.
With like, actual bats.
Yeah, like at least half of the base or a third of the baseball exposed on the top. So you have to sit on that.
It's half. It's
but what,
half.
Yeah, but so what's cool about this is the Yankee one. That's the Red Sox one. So I thought it would be cool to have, you know, two hated teams. There's some other ones we got in the other part of the
great description. Two hated teams.
Two hated teams.
It's funny you say, cause I've always seen these terrible things around here. And it's when I've seen guys,
they're cool though, but I don't want to sit on it.
Around hockey arenas, they'll take all the broken sticks and they'll make like a bed for their kid out of it. Like that actually looks cool. This is not really cool.
But not a make a bed like the two brothers on Step Brothers. They collapse. Brandon, are you okay?
Remember that when he goes, it's still one of my favorite movies. Like, hey, what? I just wanted to tell you something. What? I hate you so much.
Dude, he buried him alive in the yard. What a great movie. And the funny thing is, I just watched Old School the other day, and that made me laugh and cry at the same time.
That always makes you feel one of my favorite baseball quotes is the Will Ferrell when he did that like mockumentary of the thing.
Oh, the baseball one?
Remember when he said the minor league, and he said, there's nothing more American than going to a summer day to the ballpark and watching 9 Dominicans make magic.
That's it. And he's right. I love that too. So we got Jobu's back to normal on his. He's got his better shot glass this time. I will put a mark on it with an indelible marker to make sure there's no
that shenanigans.
But there may be some type of advertising person. They, you know, usually are people that like to drink a lot.
Grandpa Miller in here.
No, I don't think it's him. I think it's probably one of those advertising executives. Yeah. They're alkies.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yep, episode 87 in the books. Let's flip the M tonight. I'm gonna have to go over there and take out the show. We got no producer. We got no Denise. We got no Howard. We got nothing.
Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Monday we will be here back at it again for Mashup Monday.
Mashup Monday with Madam G.
Here we go.
Good job.
Preview.